Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry 11th day of Christmas. It's okay, it's the last time I can do that joke. It's the 11th day of Christmas. We're still in the Christmas season. I pray, and I talked about this with the Sunday school kids this morning, that you still have your Christmas decorations up. Because if you don't still have your Christmas decorations up, and instead you packed it away the day after Christmas, and you had them up all December long, then they really identify as Christmas presents and are instead Advent decorations. So, realistically speaking, as the world has packed it away, as the world has already begun the drudgery that is January, where it's just cold, and it's sometimes brown, and it's icy, we still have joy because the Savior is born. That is the joy of Christmas. At the fullness of time, according to God's holy will, Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus, at 40 days old, is held by Simeon. That Jesus, at 40 days old, is prayed about by Anna. That Jesus, at 40 days old, at the purification of his mother, at his presentation in the temple, that 40-day-old boy is the reason that Mary is told that the sword would pierce her own heart. The Blessed Virgin Mary knew full well what she had gotten herself into. Gabriel had foretold it. Likely, she was present for those 3 months as Zacharias was preparing to speak again, to proclaim that his son was born to lead the way. This Jesus is the only hope of our salvation. This Jesus makes us no longer slaves. He makes us sons. Sons of the Most High God. In Bible study this morning, we began Genesis chapter 5, and we were reminded that Adam lived 930 years. We talked about how exciting it is when you have a four generations picture, where you've got great grandma still alive, and those four generations can be in the picture. But think about how many generations could gather to hear the stories from the man who was actually there, the man who lived 930 years. Likely, he, as a good pastor, had to proclaim the bad with the good. He had to proclaim to his great, 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 and so on grandchildren that God had told him not to eat of one specific tree, but that he had failed. But even in his failure, even though he had failed to listen to God's word and instead listened to his wife, who had listened to the devil, God promised salvation. The same word by which the heavens and the earth were made, that same word would come down from heaven. That word would take on flesh. He believed that the seed of that promise would come. And because of that, he is a Christian. He believed in the Messiah. And so all the way down through his son Seth, Seth got to share that story with Noah. Noah with his sons. Can you imagine what it would be like to sit around those campfires? Can you imagine how much joy you had, maybe Christmas Eve, maybe Christmas Day, maybe you still have a Christmas celebration life, but how much joy it is to see your family? Maybe not that one uncle, but you know the rest of them. Maybe you rejoice to see your grandma, if she's still alive. Take those opportunities. And maybe you are the grandma. How much joy do you have when you get to see those grandchildren, those great-grandchildren coming over to your house, trying not to knock over your ornaments? But the joy. Why do you have that joy? You have that joy because you know that those children are eternal gifts. And that Jesus Christ died for you and for them. And if they are over at your house for Christmas, then you have the joy of knowing they have heard the message of Jesus Christ. Maybe they did go to church Christmas Eve. Maybe they did go to church Christmas Day. Maybe they go all year round. But if they don't, make sure that you are the one telling them. The fullness of time. It's hard for us to understand. Whether you're in your teens, in your 20s, when you still think that you're invincible, if you're in your 40s, your 60s, your 80s, or if you can see that last day approaching, Jesus Christ has died for you. He has freed you from the slavery of sin, from the slavery of the devil, from the slavery of eternal death. You are heirs, heirs of the kingdom. Under the law, you were slaves. You believed that you needed to do the work to attain salvation. You were like Cain, Luther writes in his sermon for this epistle lesson. You are like Cain, thinking that it's your works, unlike Abel, who knew that it was the work of God. There are two churches. The church of Cain believes that it works out its own salvation. It does not look to the Messiah who is to come. Rather, it looks to itself. It rejects that eternal truth that God loves. And because he loves, he creates. And because he creates, he redeems. And because he redeems, he sanctifies. He makes his creation holy once again. Yes, sin disrupted that relationship. It disrupted that communion with God. But the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ restores it. When a child, as the heir, is young, he is under a guardianship, under tutors. But when he achieves the age of receiving the inheritance, all of it is granted to him, not because of his work, but because of the work of the Father. We cannot work out our own salvation. We cannot hope to go to heaven if it's up to us. But I have good news for you. It's not up to us. The time was appointed by the Father, just as St. Paul writes. He had proclaimed that promise that the seed of the woman would be bruised in his heel, but by that bruising, the head of the serpent would be done away with. That is the cross of Jesus Christ. And that is why even the world is sad, even the world is suffering, even though it's dark and it fills itself with substance, after craving, you can have joy. You can have hope. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. This woman is no ordinary woman. She is the most important woman who has ever lived. She is the mother of God. For Jesus is God who took on flesh, who tabernacled in the womb of that blessed virgin. And she brought forth her son. Even though she had not known a man prior, Joseph took her into his home. He did the right thing. He married her. He was a guardian for that child, and he showed him the path. The fullness of time had come. Jesus is born. The fullness of time had come. Jesus went to his cross. The fullness of time had come. 3 days of rest. Jesus is raised. The fullness of time had come, and Jesus ascended back to his throne. And when the final fullness of time will come, then you will see all of these things finished. All of your pain, all of your loss, all of the death, all of the decay, all of the violence, all of it will go away. Because when the fullness of time will come, Jesus Christ will return. The dead will be raised. The graves will spring open. Yes, for a time you were slaves, but because of Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, because you have received faith, because you are baptized, you have been adopted by the Most High Heavenly Father. And he has declared you his sons. And if the Father declares you his sons, then you are free. Freedom comes in Jesus Christ. The full price of our wickedness, of our wretchedness, of our disgusting nature is paid on that cross. God now looks at you and he views you as a redeemed son, an heir of his heavenly kingdom. Jesus willingly submitted to the law. He was circumcised on the eighth day, showing the first time that he would shed his blood to fulfill the law on our behalf. He would suffer their tortures, their jeering. He would suffer their mockery, their beatings. He would suffer the crown of thorns. He would suffer nails through his hands and his feet. He would suffer a spear through his side. But these wounds he did, and he allowed to be done to him for you and for me. He was born under the law, St. Paul writes, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Pater. Father, Father, doubly sure. Amen, amen is used throughout the scriptures. This is so that you would have no doubt that God is your Father. Spoken first in Hebrew and then in Greek. Father, Father, this is true. You should have no doubt that God is your Father. You should have no doubt that God loves you even though you struggle with whatever addiction you are struggling with. He sent Jesus to take your place. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day to turn to Jesus and live. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The church sings. What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother. Ye are safe. Ye shall and must at last prevail. God's own ye are. Ye cannot fail. To God forever sing your praise. With joy and patience all your days. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.